Blog Talk Radio.
Tuning in once again. We are New Beginnings Ministry, and we're here every Wednesday. We do thank you for being a part of this time and this hour. This evening, we are going back to New York, amen, with Pastor Mixon, and I'm just anxious to see what God has placed on her lips. We are an interactive Bible study for those of you who are listening by internet. If you choose to call in, you can participate. The call-in number is 347-237-4054. That's 347-237-4054. Once you call in, you would be connected on the lines, and you have an opportunity when the speaker opens up the mic to ask any questions or whatever the case may be. Amen. We're going to move on over into New York with Pastor Mixon. We're going to move out of the way and let the Lord use her as he says so. Pastor Mixon, are you there?
Yes, praise the Lord, everyone. We're so grateful to be back on the air with you on tonight. Enjoy these Wednesdays out of each month to be able to spend time with you. Elder Clay as our host and your lovely wife, we're grateful to God that you have allowed God to see fit for us to be and share with you on at this time and season. I pray all are doing well and are finding the favor of the Lord over their life. Please call someone. Let them know that we are on the line on today, those who are listening by internet. Amen. And you would like to interact with us. I believe we have a familiar passage of scripture, but as my mentor, Dr. James E. Sturtevant says, since there is no new Bible, there must be fresh revelation. And so we pray that whatever is said today, that will be life-changing for you tomorrow. And that we don't only be hearers of the word, but we will become doers of the word. And since we are human beings and we are doing what God has called us to do, we want to take what is imparted in us, and so that we don't keep it to ourselves, but we share it with one another to let people know that Jesus still saves, he still sets free, he still delivers, he is still a healer. And it doesn't matter what it may be going on around us, God does not change. We change, but God does not change. And the one thing I like about God and I love about him, he is a consistent God. And whatever he says he will do, he does it. And the problem is that because he doesn't do it in our time frame, we question his ability. But the truth of the matter is he's still God, whether he does it in our time frame or not. And I'm at a point and season in my life where I don't care when he does it or how he does it, as long as he does it. Because one thing they used to say when I was growing up that they say even to now, he may not come. And I know a lot of people don't like this cliche. He may not come when you want him, but he's always on time. Because whenever he shows up, it is the right time.
Yes.
And so we're grateful to God for being God. I pray that everyone who is under the sound of my voice loves him as much as I love him. I talk about him on a regular basis because I am just so in love with Jesus. And so I want to pray with you on today so that we are receptive to the word of the Lord on tonight. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this word that you have placed in our hearts. And we pray, oh God, that those who hear it will be able to hear it. And not only that, but be partakers of it, that we won't just listen to the word and just hear the word as something that we hear on a regular basis. But God, we ask that you pick out the jewels and the treasures that are in the text so that we will be able to have a greater understanding. We pray for great revelation, oh God, as we sit in this area of this particular part of the water that you've given us through the word. We ask that you will wash us with the washing of the water by the word. And so, God, we ask that we are cleansed by the word of God and that we will be changed by the word of God and that we will do what you have called us to do according to your will and your way. Amen. So we're going to the gospel according to Luke. The gospel according to Luke, and we're going to be reading chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Luke 19. Verses 1 through 10, and we will be reading out of the New King James Version. And so if you have those different versions of the Bible on your phone, on your tablet, or if you just have the King James, I want you to know where we're reading from, what version we're reading from. And the word of the Lord reads in the first verse, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now, behold, there was a man by the name of Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich. And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house." And so he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I have half of my goods to the I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold." Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house." Watch this. "Because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." I'm going to read verse 10 again. "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which is lost." So we want to take for a subject on today and share with you on today, who are we seeking for to bring into the kingdom? Who are we seeking for to bring into the kingdom? Now, as people of God, as people in general, we tend to flock to people who are just like us. We tend to draw to people who are just like us. But I love this text because it shows us the concerning of those who seek after Jesus. And not only those who seek after Jesus, but the response of Jesus' acceptance of them, no matter their background or their life that they have led or the lifestyle they have led. A lot of times we look at people, and if we're going to be in Christendom and if we're going to be those who represent Christ, we must be like Christ. And if we're like Christ, we want to get as many souls into the kingdom of God. And the reason why we want to get as many souls in the kingdom of God, because we want to build up a great army for the kingdom of God. And whether we realize it or not, we need as many people to come into the kingdom of God, even in this season, more so in this season and this time. Why? Because of the things that we are facing in our world, not just our country, but what we're facing in our world. In other words, we need God more now than we've ever needed him before. And one thing I realize is that when I have my sisters and my brothers, when we are on one accord, we are able to strengthen one another when we are weak. Why? Because I realize that whatever you go through in life, if I realize that I'm not going through this by myself, if I see another survivor, or if I see a survivor in the kingdom of God, it lets me know that if you can survive, so can I. And so the thing I love about God is that God is not looking for people who are already kingdom ready, but he's looking for those who are not kingdom ready, because he seeks after those who are lost. But we're looking for people who are just like us. And so the text lets us know that he is going into a city. And as he's going into this city, he lets us the Bible lets us know that there is a man by the name of Zacchaeus, which the Bible and the text kind of lets us know that he is a part of the Jewish religion and the Jewish faith. And so Zacchaeus, which is known as a tax collector or a publican, and because they're frowned down upon or they're looked down upon because of their occupation, because when they look at tax collectors, they are known for scraping off money at the top. And it didn't make it any better that the Bible talks about how Zacchaeus was rich. But Zacchaeus himself almost even makes a confession in this text of how he has led his life. You have to realize that he was not just any type of politician, but there were many of those who were under his leadership as a tax collector. And so here we see a politician who is frowned down upon, who is by most are looked down as a sinner. And the Bible says that Zacchaeus wants to get a glimpse or wants to see Jesus. Now, the Bible also lets us know that Zacchaeus is small in stature. Now, me and Zacchaeus have a thing going on because he is not the only one that is vertically challenged. I can understand how he feels because I myself I'm vertically challenged. But it's something about when you're in God, it doesn't matter how you look on the outside, you can feel like a giant on the inside. Here, Zacchaeus is trying to get a glimpse of Jesus, but because he is small and the crowd is so large, he gets lost. And so the Bible says that Zacchaeus runs ahead and he climbs up in a sycamore tree because he has heard so much about Jesus that I want to see what he looks like. I want to see as he's passing by. But the one thing happens in this particular text that draws me to Jesus is that Zacchaeus just wants to look. But here, Jesus looks up and he sees Zacchaeus in a tree. Let me tell you something. When you get to the place where you are intrigued or you are seeking after Jesus, I promise you, when you seek after Jesus and your heart is after Jesus, he will find you. He will find you. Not only he will find you, but he will invite you to himself. Why? Because he can feel your presence pulling on him. See, you have to realize that Jesus was not being lifted amongst those who were in the crowd. He wasn't in a chariot like a king or a prince. He was walking amongst the people. And so while the crowd is around him, thronging him and pushing him and trying to get close to him, he is drawn to somebody who's seeking after him, who's not just seeking after him to touch him, but he just wants a glimpse of him. Now watch this, what Jesus does. Jesus then says to him, Zacchaeus, into the tree and sees him, and he says, Zacchaeus, it is time for me. I want you to come down from that sycamore tree and make haste because I am coming to your house. Well, this has got to be one of the greatest things that could ever happen to an individual because, look, there's a crowd of people there with issues and problems and everything that's going on in that particular city. But Jesus invites himself to the house of Zacchaeus. And the Bible says that when the people saw that he invited himself to Zacchaeus' house, they do exactly what people do even now unto this day. They make they pause and they stop, and they said he is going to spend time or he is going to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. Can I tell you, I thank God that he saw me, and not only did he see me, but he saw me before I saw him. And because his arms were open to me, I was able, when everybody else brushed me off,
because of the lifestyle that I may have led. And let me tell you something. We are living in a season and a time where people are living any type of way, any kind of way, and we cannot mm-hmm. push them away. But if they're seeking after the things of God and they want to get themselves right, we as children of God must seek out and search out for those who are seeking after God. Embrace them and love them. That's not the time to shun them or push them away, but that is the time to yes. introduce God to them because they want change. See, when you have people who want to change, you don't have to struggle as much, but there's sometimes we have to embrace people with love, and I think what we have lost sometimes in the church is the love that God has for people. And the Bible lets us know that with love and kindness has he drawn us. If we really take the time to think about our own life prior to us being saved or prior to us knowing God or prior to us being introduced to God, where would we be today if our path never crossed with Jesus? Some of us would be dead. Some of us would be strung out on drugs. Some of us would be in jail. Some of us would be completely lost. But because God is so merciful that when others yes. would have rejected us, he embraced us. I'm going to say that again because somebody really needs to understand that in order for us to win souls, there has to be an embracing of the ones
yes.
that we don't like or the ones that don't look like us, the ones we don't think
yes.
Want to come close. Sometimes you will find out that the heart of the individual, just in the conversation that you have with them, that you'll find out that they are seeking God even though they don't look like God or
mm-hmm.
they don't have the values of God, because sometimes people just don't know. And we cannot assume that everybody was raised the way we were raised, that everybody knew who Christ was. There were some people who were never raised in a church environment. But because that was our background doesn't necessarily mean that was somebody else's background. Somebody's background may have always been in the streets. They lived in the streets. They lived with gang members. They were raised up by their own sisters and brothers that didn't know how to be a mother or how to be a father because the mother or father was strung out on drugs. Can I tell you there is a need in the kingdom of God for us to seek after those who want them? The Bible says that Jesus lets him know, I'm going to sit down and it's time for me to come to your house. And while everybody is making their faces and feeling some kind of way because Jesus was going to the house of a sinner,
mm-hmm.
yeah, see, he hung out with those that everybody else rejects. And if we take the time, because we got to realize that God is looking for those that we reject. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm
yes.
saying for the murderers, the whoremongers, for the pedophile, yeah, because there are certain people that we feel should not come to God or be in the kingdom of God and should be rejected by God because of the sins that they've committed. Oh, my God. But when we look at God's view of sin, no sin is greater than the other. And it's
yes.
hard for us
yes.
to understand that, not only in this particular text, but even now, because there are certain things that are happening in the kingdom or in the time, in this season and time, where we would have put people under the jail, felt like they should have been executed. We have all because of what they've done. And
mm-hmm.
and when I even think about what has taken place in our society, them coming into the churches and shooting up the churches, and it's like that's holy ground. That's off
mm-hmm.
limits. But we're living in a day and a season and time where the devil does not care where we are or who we
yes,
are
that's right.
and what we're doing. He is cunning, he is shifty, and we've got to realize that we have to pull together because there are demons that have been leashed in the earth.
Mm.
And we have to realize that we have to go and we have to pray. We have to pray and seek God now more than ever before. And we have
yes.
to pull our resources together and our prayer lives together. This is not a time and a season where you cannot live without God, without prayer.
Yes.
You can't just be a Christian in title only, but you've got to be a Christian and a part of in relationship with God where you spend time speaking with God and you wait for him to give you an answer. Because oftentimes
yes.
we pray, but we don't wait for an answer. We ask and we ask and we ask, but we don't wait for God to confirm and pour into our spirit. Sometimes we've got to sit and meditate on the word of God so that we can get an understanding of how we need to work and walk in this season in the kingdom of God. So we are living
yes.
in a life, in an era where there are transgender. We're living in an era, in a time where our children are confused, where adults are confused, where drugs are overtaken, where it's all right to mistreat and abuse women and men. And we are abusing and we're dealing with a lot of mental issues that are going on in our society. And we've got to make sure that we know how to handle these things, even when they come into the churches, when they come on our jobs. Lord, teach us what we need to say, what we need to do to bring those back into the fold of the kingdom of God. The Bible says in verse 8 that when Zacchaeus was face to face with Jesus, immediately you can see the change that has taken place in Zacchaeus.
Yes.
Because it was already in his heart, because in verse 8, Zacchaeus says, then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. In other words, everything they said about me, God, I'm trying to reverse what I have been. See, I'm already trying to make moves to change.
Yes.
But since I'm in connection with you, listen, Jesus, I give half of my goods to the poor. Watch this. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Can I tell you, you cannot come into God's presence or be in God and change don't take place.
Yes.
There ought to be
Hallelujah.
A rebirth in you. Because the old mothers used to say when I was growing up, since I found God, since I found Jesus, everything about me has changed. My hands look new. My feet look new. Everything should be changing. See, can I tell you that when Jesus comes into your life, there's a passion that comes with that even you yourself recognize that there is a change in you, and you want to do all of those things that will benefit the kingdom of God and not yourself.
Yes.
I'm going to say that again.
Yes.
You want to do
Amen.
All the things that you can to benefit the kingdom of God and not yourself. Because one thing I realize is that God will reward those who diligently seek him. I'm searching for him. I'm looking for him. God, what you want me to do next? What can I do to help the people of God? I want to be able to feed the poor, clothe the naked. He said, when you do those things, you're not only doing it, you're not doing it for them, you're doing it for me. We are God's representatives. And anytime you come across someone who needs God and you speak into their life, it's not just about clothes, food, and shelter. You know, when we speak to those who don't know anything about God, sometimes we got to pray for an open door. And what do you mean by that? I mean that God, today, let this be the day that you give me an opportunity to speak to somebody who needs you. Give me the right words to say that will help somebody, that will be life-changing today. God, let me not have this day have no purpose. See, the purpose that I want each day of my life
is to do something that will benefit the kingdom of God. Zacchaeus lets Jesus know, listen, I'm willing to do all of this. I'm willing to restore fourfold to anybody that I've, anything I've done wrong. Watch what Jesus says to him. Today, salvation has come to this house. Oh, my God. Today, salvation has come to this house. Here, watch this. This all started from a little man who everybody looked down on, not only in stature, but they looked down on him as an individual because of the type of work that and God, I confess, I ain't been the greatest person in the world. And everything that they said I did, I've done it. I don't know about you. There's some people who are listening today. Everything that people have said about you, they right. Yep, they said you this, they said you that. You've done this, you've done that. Yeah, you're right. But here I am coming before Jesus looking for him to help me to change. And this is what I'm willing to do. I'm so serious about my walk with you, God, that I am encountered. This encounter is about to change my life completely. Whatever I do right now from this day forward is to help the kingdom of God. Can I tell you that you can be the one that interacts with an individual that can change the life? Watch this. It doesn't just affect that time and that season that they are with you. But when they leave you, watch this, and they leave your presence and you've imparted in them kingdom values and they've grasped it and taken on the passion, it then goes to someone else. Then that goes to someone else. And so what we got to realize that when we witness, we may witness to one, but that one may witness to thousands.
Yes.
But the seed started with you. Who are we seeking after in the kingdom of God? For the kingdom of God, are we seeking people who are like us? Are we too scared to speak to the one that everybody has rejected? Are we too scared to speak to the one that may have committed murder, may have done things that are vile? Can I tell you that all of those people need God, no matter what we think concerning them? I am not anybody's judge or jury. And one thing I realize is that as much as they may have sinned, I've sinned too. And when I look at my own life, I should have been rejected by God. See, you gotta make that thing personal. Should I even be in the kingdom of God? Some of us, if we look back over our life, we're trying to figure out how we have stepped foot in the church and God hasn't just struck us dead. But I can't reject someone else when Jesus didn't reject me.
Amen.
I love God. I love him so much because he's the one that can wash us, cleanse us, make us new. He can redeem us, give us salvation.
Yes.
And that's when you get to the place where that's what you're looking for from God, there's no way that you can seek after him and not find him and not get change happen in your life. And see, I think it was the Hawkins family that sang, "A wonderful change has come over me." And can I tell you, you grow in God. It takes time. It took time for some of us to learn how to be what we would consider, somebody would say, well, I don't know if you would put it this way, but a good sinner. We were good at every sin that we did. Everything we did it to the 10th power, as they say. If I'm going to go to the club, I'm going to the club at the 10th power. If I'm going to be an alcoholic, I'm going to be the best alcoholic there is. I'm going to go full-fledged in because it does not make sense This is what I don't understand. With people who go to church who have not put their full heart into God. Because I can't be on one side and or the other side. Got my foot on one side in the church and my foot on the other side. If I'm going to do one, I'm going to do one or the other. But I'm not going to straddle the fence. If I'm decided I'm going to be a sinner, I'm going to be the best sinner and live my life. Because there are a lot of people who have said and they testified it, I thank God for delivering me and freeing me from a miserable life of sin. But can I tell you, there are a lot of people whose life wasn't miserable in sin. That's why there's such a struggle for those who to come into the kingdom, because they're not miserable. They're very happy being sinners. That's why it's such a struggle to come bring folks into the kingdom of God. Because somebody said, well, how can you say that, Pastor? I'm saying that because your flesh, when your flesh, the appetite of your flesh is pleased, it feels good as a sinner. But when you have come over into the kingdom of God, you've got to fight the things of your flesh. Because everything, yes. What you got to understand is that everything that feels good to you ain't good for you.
Amen.
I wish people would tell the truth. When they were out there in the world, it felt good. And then when they came into the kingdom of God, they said, well, you know, old school said you can't do this, you can't do that. It was a bunch of do's and don'ts. But when I've gone through the process of knowing who God is, can I tell you, this is a powerful thing. The will of God, when I gave my will over to his will.
Yes.
Watch this. The things that used to feel good don't feel good no more. Okay, let me help you.
Amen. Tell it.
That was good. Good God from Zion, that was good. It doesn't feel good anymore because now I have been introduced to Jesus, so my thought process, my feelings, and my ways are to please God. Okay, let me help you.
Yes.
My dad used to be a smoker.
Mm-hmm.
And he would smoke, I believe it was, I don't remember if it was, I think it was Marlboros. That's what it was. That's the red and white pack from back in the day. And when my father got saved, and anybody who has been a smoker back in the day, they may be have the understanding of this, or alcohol or anything like that. But when my father stopped smoking and gave his life over to God, the very smell of smoke became a problem for him. The thing that he used to love now would sicken him.
Mm-hmm.
And can I tell you that there, when you come into God's house and come into the passion with God, the things that you used to do in your flesh now are the things that sicken you. See, that's why it's hard for us to understand. We forget where we come from. Because some of the people that we are rejecting were the people we used to be. But because it is such a stench in our nose, because we have rejected the things, some of the things of the flesh. See, we'll accept some things that we haven't been delivered from. We're all right with them. But the stuff that we've been delivered from, we frown upon, not realizing not many years ago that was us. And so I'm grateful to God that God delivered us or delivered me from certain things, that I don't want to go back to that anymore. But I also have to have a heart for those who are still there.
Yes.
And want to come out of it. And so that when they come out of it, it can be said to them the same thing that Jesus said to Zacchaeus. Today, this house has salvation has come to this house. Watch this, because Jesus says to him, because he also is a
son of Abraham. Can I tell you that Jesus came for the lost tribe of Israel? And we have to realize, because Abraham's seed and his seed's seed shall be blessed. Watch this. Then Jesus turns around and lets us know, because Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, brings those who were rejected by God, for those he did not come for, the Gentiles. He engrafted us, gave us opportunity to have the same benefits for those who were lost from the tribe of Israel. Let me tell you something. God says, I'm after those souls, and I'm seeking after those who were lost. I can't reject those who are running after Christ. Can't reject those. But God, give me the words to say so that they will come into the fold so salvation can come to their house. Yes. I'm going to open up the mics tonight, because somebody can share with one another, because I don't want us as Christians to be pious or be in the mindset that we are above and not realizing that it's because of God's grace we are where we are. And I shared with our church a couple of Sundays ago, we tend to forget where we come from, and sometimes God has to put us in a place where he has to remind us that I brought you from here to there. So if I'm going to open up the mics, and maybe you want to share or you have any questions that you want to ask concerning this, what can you do? Because you have to realize everybody's heart is not receptive to the things of God. So sometimes you can drop little seeds, say little things to them, because sometimes we can get on folks' nerve when we try to force feed or force God down their throat. We have to just get to them a little bit at a time, because we don't want them to be forced, because Jesus is a gentleman. God is a gentleman. He didn't force us to get to where we are.
Yes. Yes.
So we have to thank God for those who spoke into our lives that got us where we are. The mics are open for all those who want to share or have any questions on tonight.
Well, I think it was interesting. Zacchaeus, who was a short stature, had climbed the tree, and knowing that Jesus was coming. But anyway, he wanted to actually just see him, not necessarily talk to him, but he wanted to see him. But anyway, Jesus looked up in, you know, just looked up in the tree and saw him and told him, called him by name and told him to come down. And keep in mind, he was a sinner, and Jesus called to him, you know, and started that relationship, you know, and opened the door that we should be servants to God. And not be pass judgment on others. And look at and introspectively look at ourselves and where we have been and where we are now and where we're going as we follow God. I thought it was very interesting. He's up in the tree, and God, you know, Jesus just calls out to him, you know. He's not calling Jesus. Jesus just knows he's up there and calls him down. He says, I'm staying at your house. So he's utilizing him as a tool. And there's a transformation taking place.
But the thing about it is, too, is that everybody that was around him didn't know what was taking place. All they saw was a sinner.
Amen.
So
what
Jesus saw was something far beyond that.
Amen.
Yes.
So a lot of times, and look at it, he just came into this city and called him by his first name.
See, that's right.
What you got to realize is that Jesus already knows who you are, where you are, what you've done.
Yes, he does.
That's good.
You can't even hide from him.
That's good.
It doesn't matter where you are in your life. No, and this is what I'm saying. We try to hide from man, but we expose ourselves to God, because we realize that, listen, God already knows us, But the thing we need to understand is that stop trying to please man to look good in the eyesight of man.
That's good.
But look good in the eyesight of God. The problem is that God's eyes are always on us. And if we are children of God, that means we should always be on our best behavior.
That's good.
Because it doesn't really matter what people say. It's only Jesus who can bring salvation to my house. But I'm more concerned about what Leroy has to say about what's going on in my house than I do about what Jesus has to say.
That's good.
Okay? So when we look at it, like the man of God who's on the phone, we can't judge anybody. Like I said, we've been there, done that, wore the T-shirt, carried the bag, all of that. And only by his grace, grace that we're able to say, okay, I am a part of the kingdom of God. And you know what? I tell you right now, I wear that proudly. To be called a daughter of God, a daughter of Christ, I wear that proudly. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I don't care if people look down at me and say, it don't take all that, you're just too overly religious. No, you don't understand. You don't know the experience that I have with Christ. And Zacchaeus is in the same place. Listen, I've been looked down on. I've been called worthless. I've been called good for nothing. Look at them right now. All they can do is judge me as what I used to be or what I am. But listen, God, I'm telling you right now, we're face to face. And I'm telling you right now, I am willing to alter and change who I was. Since you showed up. Oh, my God.
That's good.
Can I tell you that I have to thank God for the place that I'm in? And not only that, but if I feel this good about being a daughter of Christ, shouldn't I introduce somebody else so they can feel just as good as I do?
Amen.
Tell it.
Amen.
See, only stingy folk keep all of the good stuff to themselves. But the thing is, there's so much of God that I can't contain him all by myself. It's something like when you got certain people, when they find a good sale, they'll call up everybody all over the place. Listen, Target is having such and such over here. You better go down there before they run out. But if we take the same mentality, listen, Jesus is doing something over at Calvary. Jesus is doing something over in Ohio. Jesus is doing something over in North Carolina. Can I tell you that people will run the blessed? But you know what? We've got to get to the place where we are so prayed up that we start seeing the miracles of God take place in our churches.
Miracles start taking place
because we have called out. When people say, Pastor, can you pray for us? Such and such is going on. And we see the very handiwork of God happening in the last days. He is going to pour out his spirit amongst all flesh. And I tell you, we are living in a day where God's about to pour himself out on us. And the power of God. People, we are going to be able to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We are going to be able to raise the dead. Somebody said, oh, no, they don't do that. No, the power of God. I started by saying that God does not change. Man change, but God does not change. If he raised the dead in the New Testament and Old Testament, he can raise the dead in 2017. Because he's God and he doesn't change. Watch this. It is not the fault of God that we don't see miracles because he hasn't changed. It is our unbelief that he can still do miracles. My question is, if I believe God, he still can do miracles.
That's right. Religious belief.
See, the thing is, we're too scared to trust out there and walk out on faith. I'm seeing miracles happen in our own church.
Yes, amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise him.
There are things, and see, a lot of times we waiting for them to be laid out, but there are people who should have been dead and gone in our church, and God raised them up.
Amen, Amen.
And they're still walking in their healing. And they're just, let me tell you something.
Yes.
When Jesus healed the sick, the Bible says some were healed immediately and some were healed as
they went.
And then there were some that were healed not many days later. Now, however God decides to heal you, God, I'm believing God for my healing. Now, you can do it immediately. You can do it as I get up and leave from this place, or you can do it later on. But I believe, God, that you're going to make me whole.
Amen.
Yes.
Same power.
Amen.
Same power.
Same.
Watch this. Different
same
vessels.
Power.
Same power. And we are, and listen, we are in a place where God lets us know, and greater work shall you do.
That's what he said.
Yes.
That's what he said.
Now, if Jesus raised the dead, healed blind eyes, opened up the deaf ears, made the lame walk, and the dumb to talk, then he turns around and lets us know, and greater work shall you do.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So if that's the case, everything that's walking around right now that is of unlike God, everyone who is bound, mental illness, those who are going through trying to figure out who they are, and
mm-hmm.
that's the way things are now in the day and time we're living in, where we have those who are transgender who don't
yeah.
really know who they are. They're
yeah.
accepting who they are because they don't know how to change.
Mm-hmm.
And because I've been in this environment and this mindset all my life, I don't think I can change, so I accept what I am. Oh,
but
my gosh.
But God.
But God.
But God.
Is able to deliver us out of all. And he said, because of that, look at the stuff that we're dealing with now
mm-hmm.
in our society. That's why he says, and greater works you shall do. Why? Because
yes.
you have to understand that sin is going to become greater in the earth.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to do greater things because there's
wow.
greater
yes.
sin.
Yes.
Yes, good interpretation.
Mm-hmm. That's good.
Greater sin requires greater works. Y'all need to write
sin.
That down. Greater sin require greater
work. That's good.
So there has to be a greater anointing. And so that's why some of us have to go through what we have to go through, because the cost of the oil
on
our lives.
That's good.
Yes.
Has to be greater because of what we're going to encounter.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Greater
yes.
works. And I want to be able to be not like the disciple. A man came to Jesus and said, listen, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't
right.
deliver him.
Mm-hmm.
And then the disciple says to Jesus, well, why couldn't we do it? He says, oh, ye of little faith. It's because we don't believe. And then he turned around and let them know, some things only come through fasting and praying.
Amen.
Amen.
I need you to be empty so you can be
yes.
filled with the anointing of God, so that the power of God can get, it doesn't have to get through all the junk and the thing that you've gone through. Fasting doesn't require those turning your plates down, but sometimes you got to turn that TV off, social media off, testing what we're going through, and all of that
say
is
that.
Imparted in our spirit.
Amen.
And then you want to lay hands on me?
Mm-mm.
And you got so much junk in your spirit, it needs to be cleared out. And that's
yes.
why we don't see signs and wonders, because we're so busy looking at society that we don't even believe that God can do what he's always been capable of doing, because we don't see it. And see, that's what you have to understand. Faith does not come by seeing.
Mm-hmm.
We walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Because if I walk by sight, I'll never find deliverance.
Oh, my God.
Because my sight is what hinders my faith. Y'all write that down.
Amen.
My sight is what hinders my faith, because what I see before me is negativity. So it decreases my belief in God. But if I can trust on the things that I can't see, yeah, I don't see God, but I know he's there. So I'd rather trust in God than trust in what I see.
Because
everything I see ain't necessarily what it is. Amen. So I'm taking up so all the time of those who may have want to say something.
No,
but it just got
good.
Really good to me.
It was good, Pastor.
Yes. Powerful word.
It got really good to me.
Amen.
So I pray that you receive something tonight that was life-changing. Listen, don't keep it to yourself. If you wrote some stuff down, share it with somebody else. Speak out to those who are in the kingdom of God so that they can be drawn into the kingdom. Don't keep all this by yourself. Amen?
Amen.
I'm going to turn it back over
Amen.
To Elder Clay. I pray to
Amen.
Hear from you guys again and be with you on the next third Wednesday of the next month. Amen. I pray that you stay blessed. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with one another. Love on your family, because tomorrow's not promised.
Amen.
Love on them.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you, Elder Clay. God bless you, all of those who are listening. I pray you be blessed. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. My goodness. Goodness, my goodness. You're talking about packed with the word.
Amen.
All I can say is, hey, Pastor, I was over here writing, because I'm always evaluating myself, always.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you for coming on and just sharing a powerful message for the body of Christ. We do thank you. And may God continue to bless you and elevate you in your word and your spirit. We're going to have prayer, and then we're going to close it on out. I'm going to ask before we do that, are there any questions for the pastor at this time? The mics are open. Pastor, any questions, any comments, any prayer requests?
Elder Clay, I do have a prayer request. There is a lady who is over in the Dominican Republic, and she's trying to get home. Her organs are failing her. Her name is Sister Marie. I ask that you would lift her up in your prayers. I just got a text on this morning, and I believe God is a healer. So I ask that you would lift her up in prayer on tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Are there any others? We have a lot of numbers on here, Pastor. I guess everyone is just getting fed with the word. And I know sometimes it's just kind of hard to say something when you're just getting full. Everything is just tasting and you're just eating, and it's just so good. Sometimes you just don't want to say anything. So I know that that's basically how it was. Father, we thank this opportunity. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Mixon, Heavenly Father. We pray that you would bless her, Heavenly Father. Bless her. Bless her coming. Bless her going, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord, that you continue to elevate her and her church, Heavenly Father, so that they would bless the community, Heavenly Father, and not only the community, Heavenly Father, that they would bless all those that come in contact with any of them.
Yes.
You know, Heavenly Father, that the word is being preached there, and we thank you for that. We know that your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path, Father. Lord, we ask, Heavenly Father, for Sister Marie. We're asking, Heavenly Father, that you would open up doors, Heavenly Father, so that she's able to return back to the States, Heavenly Father, that you would open up those doors. Father, we come corporately asking, Heavenly Father, for a miracle in the name of Jesus. Father, we believe in your word. We know that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. We thank you that we can live in your light and walk in your truth. Father, we ask that the things that we've revealed tonight and the thoughts that we have been that has been shared will dwell within our hearts, Heavenly Father, and stir us into action. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Remember, we love you, but God loves you most. Until next week, thank you so much. Thank you.
I can begin.